IABC Ottawa presents The Voice. The Voice offers tips, insights, and practical takeaways for members of the International Association of Business Communicators and people in communications, marketing, and creative professions. We share news and information on the latest ideas, trends, and issues to help you take your career to the next level. Thank you for listening. Follow IABC Ottawa on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And please watch for future episodes of The Voice.
I am Sherry Lynn Starkey, and this is The Voice.
I think that cultural transformation or cultural change is frightening to most people. So I think that the rebranding exercise that we undertook was a way for us to bring people to understand what we wanted to stand for in the marketplace, the different types of behaviors we wanted to change, how we want them to act differently, take bolder stands, be out there. And so that we knew would drive a cultural shift.
So what we did is, when we launched the brand, we really wanted to make sure that our client-facing employees were really understanding why we did that. And we wanted to equip them with the proper messaging, so when they would go out, we would all be singing from the same song sheet.
So last week, I had the pleasure of attending a professional development session with IABC Ottawa. We invited in Annie Marcellet, who is BDC's Vice President of Marketing and Communications. The Business Development Bank of Canada is our federal government's bank, which helps entrepreneurs. And they've recently undergone a complete rebrand, and Annie was on hand to talk us right through the whole process from the beginning to the end. Now, she built this as a rebrand, and she talks about it in terms of a rebrand, but what she's really, really, really done there is that she's used a rebranding exercise to help drive a significant cultural change through the whole organization. It was really a fascinating case study. I brought my handy podcast microphone along and captured most of her presentation. And then at the end of the evening, I managed to pull her aside and do a little Q&A. So make sure you listen right to the very end. So with no further ado, let's listen to Annie explain how they used a corporate rebrand exercise to drive through considerable cultural change throughout their organization.
What we do, in essence, we provide businesses in all industries with financing, so the typical term loan that businesses will need, and advisory services. That's something that's less known. So if entrepreneurs who have less financial means need marketing advice or technology advice or productivity advice, for example, we offer them at a very, very low cost. We're also the most important and the most active venture capital player in Canada. So we do invest in tons of startups at different stages of their evolution. And I was having some discussions with some of you earlier, and despite the fact that we don't have retail branches, we still have about 120 business centers across the country. So we are where entrepreneurs are. So we're in Whitehorse, we're in Chicoutimi, so we're all across the country where there are pockets of businesses, so to make sure that we go on their premises to meet and interact with them. We have about 50,000 clients now and about 2,200 employees. So head office is in Montreal, but we have also a lead office here at Ottawa, obviously. So let's go back to why we're here tonight. It's talk about why BDC rebranded in the first place. And it all started in 2015 when we did a survey of Canadian entrepreneurs, and among several questions, we asked them, could you describe BDC in one word? And as you can see here, what comes up quite prominently is that we were unfamiliar. Of course, our clients know us. But if you know that there's about a million small and medium-sized businesses in Canada, and at the time we had about 30,000 of them, if we're unfamiliar, how can we really, really deliver on our purpose? And so we took that. We also looked at our brand identity, and My friends at EDC, I don't think they're here tonight, are they? No, they were supposed to be here. But anyways, it's not a criticism of their brand identity. But there was a lot of confusion, it still is, and there still is a lot of confusion in the marketplace. When you ask someone, do you know who BDC is? And they say, well, of course I know. What do you do? Well, I do export. Well, no, it's BDC. So there's a lot of confusion in the marketplace. And also BDO, it's amazing. Like, people were calling us, oh, I love your ads. And so, well, we don't have a campaign. Oh, it's BDO. So, and there was a lot of times where we co-locate in offices across the country, and therefore people were really confusing. So we realized that we had an awareness problem. Our identity was probably stale a little bit, but we had a new leadership and we had a new aspiration, which is to be a leader in making Canadian entrepreneurs the most competitive in the world. Not in Canada, in the world. So we had a new bold aspiration, a new president. So the time was right to actually align our brand with our purpose. And when we came to that realization, we realized that changing our communication platform would not be sufficient. We also had to look at our brand identity. So how did we do that? And that's a fact, like, it's gonna be a very, very fast explanation of a 9-month process. So I'm dealing with bankers. So we had a very rigorous numbers process. These are not lottery numbers. This is an explanation of how we worked. So first of all, we collected all the brand evidences of how the brand is expressed, was expressed in all channels, in every means. So that's what we collected to look, how is the brand conveyed in the marketplace? We did 195 hours of interviews across the country within BDC. So from different departments, different seniority people, client-facing, back office, and so on and so forth. And out of those 195 hours of interviews, 147 people say, hey, you know what? I believe that there's a problem with BDC's brand, and if you need help, I want to become a champion. And that was key to the success of this initiative. And what was most important is that we were not just a bunch of marketers having fun with a new brand identity and thinking, oh, it's so cool and we're gonna, you know, change the logo. We really needed to validate our assumptions every step of the way with our target audience, Canadian entrepreneurs themselves. Because everything that we were about to do needed to resonate with them. So Canadian entrepreneurs, and internally, let's not assume that people understand brand. Most of them don't. And so for most people, brand equals logo, which is not the case. There's a whole education that needs to happen. So I joined BDC 2 years ago, and I spent the first 3 months like presenting the case to like everybody within the company. And at first I was a bit shocked because I said, oh my God, I mean, it's a different culture. I'm not used to that. And then I realized that's the only way that you can really build buy-in into the process. What we also did is, as we wanted to differentiate ourselves in the marketplace, we analyzed the banking industry, the consulting industry to look at, you know, their websites and how they were conveying their own brand message. And out of all this process, once again, it's a very fast way of looking at it, we came up with 3 key learning. The first one, there was a big gap between who we are and how we are perceived. But you know what? Perception is reality. Number 2, we live in a market of sameness. Same vocabulary, same products, same feature. We're in the banking industry. A term loan is a term loan. Look at all these images. 6 different banks, all the same. And just having fun a little bit, go back for some. The client at the bottom right, same client. No hair. 2 different banks. So we're also using the same entrepreneurs in our advertising. So same. And 3, BDC has historically been very, very shy to stand up in the marketplace. And so we let the market defined who we are. For most people, we were the lender of last resort. So when every other bank was saying no, go to BDC and they're gonna help you, which was absolutely not the case anymore. And so of all that learning, there was one eye-opening factor. Very simple. We are the only bank exclusively devoted to entrepreneurs, period. No other bank can claim that. And that was a very powerful insight, and it's so simple. It's going back to our roots, it's going back to basics, and it was time to showcase that and be bold. And that was a perfect timing. Once again, there was a new president, there was a new aspiration, there was willingness to stand up in the marketplace and invest in marketing and communications. So there was a huge cultural shift that accompanied that. So let's, and then we came up with that brand identity. Still very proudly Canadian, very modern, both timeless and timely. We went from lowercase with the lettre majuscule at lowercase. All caps. Thank you. All caps to small caps. And because it's really, when we explore the marketplace, it really is synonymous with accessibility. So we wanted to get closer, closer to entrepreneurs. And so the maple leaf, we didn't want to shy away from the maple leaf because it's who we are. We're a governmental agency or body. And so we wanted to showcase that. So BC, we're so proud because finally we were letting them go out, speak more loudly, more being bolder. And so coming up with a brand platform with vibrant colors, really showcasing the diversity internally of our people, but also externally of those who we serve, because entrepreneurs are very, very varied, was extremely well received. What we did in order to be successful, I told you that I went through different groups and explained like why brand matters and why we want to do that. A week before launching externally, we decided to do a launch premiere with the 150 leaders all in Montreal, and we have them experience everything that would change and everything that would be new. So starting to for them to embrace a new cultural shift and a new brand, so when they would go back into their regions, into their business center, they could in turn become ambassador and respond to every questions that their colleagues would have. And so on a week after we did the official launch, 89 events nationally. So that was it had never been done before. I'm sure you can appreciate the logistics of having 89 events nationally. And it was really important for us, for every employee to have the same experience. We want them to experience the new brand the same way. And at head office, we had 750 people through different floors experiencing the new brand, and they all got what they needed. We were also able to pull off something quite extraordinary. In 5 different offices across the country, overnight, we were able to put on top of building the new brand identity. So we had seen Halifax, and that was Montreal. Ottawa is a different case because we moved during that period, and then there's renovation into where we are, but you'll see the logo coming up at some point. Getting the word out, of course, from a public relations or media relations perspective, what's interesting here is when we initially, and I have a Marcom background, so I know the marketing trades, but when we initially called the media the trade, they would not return our calls because they had no clue who BDC was and why BDC wanted to talk brand. So it really took some persistence to actually be able to get that coverage. And now we're on the radar because we're quite modern and forward-thinking in what we do. So in addition to rebranding, we also wanted to be more bold. And so we decided to invest more into our visibility and awareness. So essentially, we created a new advertising campaign is unparalleled in the history of BDC. It was never done with such insights before. We also paid attention to our media buy, to our media strategy. What we used to do is one-offs. So we're going to do a little bit of advertising here, a little bit of PR here, and then we would stop for a year and a half. Well, that's not how you change a brand, and that's not how you sustain a brand. And so we paid attention to having a sustained plan over the year, but also what we used to do is think that entrepreneurs, they're in business, so therefore we're going to target business audiences. So we're going to invest in Globe and Mail and Financial Post and La Presse in Montreal. But guess what? Entrepreneurs, they watch sports, so they watch football, they watch hockey, they like wine, they like traveling. So we completely change our media strategy to be able to reach them where they are. And that is really paying off. And it's not at all about advertising. We needed to increase awareness, so as you can see, most of the bubbles and the concentration of our marcom mix is there, but we need to continue also working on all the other channels, because all these channels combined make a difference in the marketplace. So we have different initiatives across the board. Despite the best campaign you can have, the best PR you can have, the most appealing brand you can have, if at the end of the day, people will have a bad experience with your brand, it's not worth investing in it. So we really took time to make sure that our brand aligned with our experience. And I love this quote from Brian Solis, who's an expert in client experience. Experience is the new brand. Experiences are the new branding. The future is experience. And you know, you can salvage a reputation overnight because of a bad experience, and we hear that every day. So what we did is, when we launched the brand, we really wanted to make sure that our client-facing employees were really understanding why we did that, and we wanted to equip them with the proper messaging, so when they would go out, we would all be singing from the same song sheet. So we spent 2 months training over 1,000 employees coast to coast. We did a little elevator pitch contest, and we're about to finalize a video when all new employees, and as a refresher, we will remind of the importance of the brand. That's all great. But as most CEOs and CFOs will ask, so how do you measure success? That costs a lot. And so we had three sets of KPI. First, campaign KPIs are quite simple. I mean, the traditional campaign KPIs, and are people recognizing that it's your brand, so on and so forth. Then your brand KPI is your level of awareness increasing or not. And then, what is the impact of all these initiatives on the entire market mix, on your business objectives, on driving revenue, on generating leads? Well, I'm happy to say that less than a year after we launched the brand, what we're starting seeing is the word entrepreneur. We're the only bank exclusive we did more good entrepreneur. Helpful, approachable, like very, very important words that were really, really key and at the heart of our communications platform come out. The unknown, as you can see, I mean, the equivalent of unfamiliar has started shrinking significantly. And I will leave the government part for the Q&A part. In terms of awareness, in less than a year two, plus 3% in unaided awareness. So to the question, if we ask you to name companies and institutions that offer financing or advisory services to businesses, which one would you think about? BDC came up way more easily than in the past. In terms of client experience, as I said, brand and experience need to be aligned. We have a world-class level of client satisfaction. 94% of clients say they are either satisfied or very satisfied with BDC, and we need to maintain that obsessively. And finally, we have very engaged employees. And you know that very engaged employee will drive client satisfaction and will drive business results. So, in a nutshell, what should we take away from all this, from our experience? Planning and proactively managing your stakeholders internally is essential. Second, validating your assumptions is really, really important. And what I mean validating your assumptions, when we went to the market and see entrepreneurs, we really learned a lot, and we had to go back to the drawing board several times. So although you think you have it all covered, it's really important along the way, and we did that a few times, to validate your assumptions. And sticking to your why will rally your team. And our why is our purpose. And our purpose is to promote entrepreneurships. And it's to do it in a bold way. If we're not heard, if we're not being bold and really are proud of what we do, we will not succeed. So let's go back to your why. And I'm leaving you with a little quote that I particularly like, because when people are telling me, so you're done, we're never done. A brand is a living asset. You need to nurture it. It evolves. It's like moving into a house. You change the furniture, you upgrade, and that's what we need to do every single day. So a bold thank you.
Finalized, signed off, and like fully rolled it out.
Crazy timing. I would not recommend anybody to work on such a timing. So I joined BDC 2 years ago in October 2015. The initial survey was made. They had gotten somewhat of an approval to go through the board. So all in all, it took, from the moment I joined, and that was my main mandate to deliver on the rebranding, it took 9 months, which is crazy. Crazy. And the day of, what I didn't point out is, it was really important for me that there was a critical mass of things that would be rebranded the day of. Otherwise, it's not, you're not making it a momentum. And so we had 6,000 pages of web pages already rebranded. All our marketing material was pretty much rebranded. Every employee, like their office supplies and their cup of tea and everything was rebranded. And so that was to that magnitude. And I feel I'm privileged that it's my second rebranding of that magnitude in my career. And when I joined, my boss said, well, you're gonna deliver, it was October, well, we're gonna launch in February. And I started laughing, and you know, I said, oh my God, that might be a career limiting move. I said, there's no way we're gonna be launching in February. So I pushed May, and then we ended up in June. Yes, so if you recall Yellow Pages, The Walking Fingers,
yes,
in the print book, in 2008, we did the rebranding to the pebble shape that you see now, so to make it more mobile, because they're moving into the mobile world.
Okay.
And that was the same type of manager, like a 100-year-old brand, nationally, within all the systems that you had to update. So it was a big project.
Besides timing, what was your greatest challenge through the process?
People.
What?
So, culture. Culture of resistance, culture of we can't do that. We've never done that. The bank says so, and it's like, I'm gonna deal with it. So every time I was coming up with something like crazy, like we're gonna do 89 events simultaneously across the country, and they will all have their own little package with all the trinkets and stuff with the rebranded material. You can imagine that our office people were like, we can't do that. And then the bank doesn't allow that. And at some point I said, can I meet the bank? Can someone like take me to the bank? And so, so the bank does not exist. These are all like false excuses. Let's be bold. And so people and the reflex of going back to all that was challenging. And that's why like doing tons of presentations ended up being their recipe within the BDC culture.
So do you find that resistance has minimized since your rollout, or is it eliminated, or where do you think you are on that battle?
It's a complete shift. So the moment we launch, I mean, those hard resistant, like that hardcore people like who've been with BDC, because the people have been with BDC, the age tenure or I'm losing my words, seniority level is quite high, and so those people were really, really, you know, don't touch my brand, it's been like that, and it's fine. And so the day of the launch, because everybody was getting into the experiment, so you had a collective feeling of, oh my God, these are new days, people were crying, believe it or not.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so now, I mean, I was in Ottawa today, and I'm the brand person, so everybody, oh my God, we're so happy, and entrepreneurs are happy, and it's refreshing, and we're not, you know, hiding, we're not like the wallpaper anymore, so it's positive. Totally. Actually, I'm proud to say that VDC won the best content marketing program for a financial institution from the Content Marketing Institute in September, so this is a worldwide organization. So our content strategy has been, we've been at it for 3 years now. And so content amplified on social media has been really, really important. We can do more, we can do different, so we're evolving that strategy, but that was part of the, of course, one of the mix or the channel that we use for sure.
I think it's interesting you put a lot of emphasis on the brand experience. Can you talk a little bit more about how you defined the experience when you started training your employees?
We are a development bank, and most people lost sight of that. They build reflex of typical bankers, so transactional, and we're a development bank. So therefore, if really looking at the entrepreneur's need, having a real deep conversation, and we go to premises, we go and meet entrepreneurs. That's something that's very different from any other bank. So the brand essence, and we had a local, and the brand promise, that's what we were trying to say. This is so in line with the development banker attitude, being curious, going at it as a team, wanting to help, finding solutions, so bringing back all these brand characteristics into how they actually approach entrepreneurs, and it's shifting, and with our advisory services and so on, this selling approach is shifting gradually. It's not easy, for sure. I mean, the rebranding and also such a big advertising campaign costs a lot. So there are two components. So the rebranding was a project aside. So we went to the board of directors and, you know, we made the case that the timing was right for BDC. If we wanted to be relevant, if we wanted to meet to deliver on our purpose, we had to change. And that rebranding case was well received. And actually, I'm really proud to say that from what they gave us, through a very broad estimate that we had at the time, 2 years afterward, we were able to do the rebranding at less than half of the initial cost. So we were in the history of BDC, there are no project that went underspent.
Did you have a C-suite champion? Somebody who was your voice at the table, at the boardroom table?
We had our president, who was new to. So, he joined a month before me. But also, most importantly, the chairman of the board.
Wow.
Was also very, very supportive. But make no mistake, there were other people within board of directors and also the management committee that were not aligned. And so that's why, you know, all these presentations, bringing gradually consensus, making them understand what brand stands for, it's not just a logo. But having like the chairman of the board and our president fully on board was crucial. Well, just structurally, I've always been a big advocate of integrating communications and marketing functions. It's been a struggle in most organizations. There are no one structure that is best, but when they're closer together, it's much more efficient. So in this case, we were very, very closely with the digital team because of everything that there was a big IT component. So we had a committee of champions of about four people that were, you know, doing all the background work. We had a war room because we needed to keep secrecy during all that period. So we had a war room for all the developers, the digital people. And then as we went through the process, the people involved were kind of well-rounded marketers, so we could look at all the different components And then when we came to launch and all that stuff, gradually we brought in all the different other disciplines, but they're pretty much all within my team. And the digital team, which is my colleague, that grew like that.
You said you were going to leave government for the Q&A, so here's your question. Why was government the biggest word on that slide?
Yeah, that's a question that my management committee has been asking me since then. I can't answer because these are surveys like perception surveys, but it's in essence, my hypothesis on this is we have an identity where the make believe is really prominent, and that was the goal. And for some people, it's like, well, isn't it like negative to be associated like with government because it's, you know, it's slow, it's bureaucratic, and so on. My point of view on this is actually when we survey entrepreneurs, it means stability. We won't go away, we won't let them down, and we're here to help. So the fact that they're saying government, it's not, and that's why it's neutral, it's in blue, it's not the negative connotation that you typically would think of. That's a very good question. Actually, I answered half of your questions earlier on cost. So that was the rebranding one-time cost, and then there was the communications advertising budget that we went to the board for and asked to double it. And so when we went to the board for and asked to double it, first we looked at the industry, we benchmarked ourselves in terms of size, in terms of we're a B2B organization. Bear in mind that we're not competing, that's not our role, we're actually complementary to other banks, but they've got like 10 times our budgets, and they have retail and commercial, and so there's no way we'll ever going to have that magnitude budget. But at least we wanted to be able to cut through the clutter, so we made that case to the board, so they gave us we doubled the budget. But what we made sure we were asking for is we need to have this budget for at least three years. So they guaranteed us for at least 3 years because branding didn't change overnight. And so you need to sustain your efforts. And now I'm already starting my new battle for the next 3 years. So growth has been historically high. Double-digit growth, so more people coming to BDC, more people hearing about BDC, volume of traffic to the website increasing. So lead generation overall has been very, very powerful. And going back to content marketing, we have a very solid way of knowing people are coming to the site, completing forms, entering into their nurturing programs, scoring them, sending them to the call center. So we have a whole mechanism, very, very sophisticated, so we are able to track. At the same time, I remind people that, you know, advertising and brand alone won't drive directly your results. But we see definitely that we're way more top of mind, but there's still a lot of work.
You talked about the 147 brand champions that were identified early on. How did you continue to engage them throughout the process?
So we were keeping them abreast of the different where we were at with the rebranding, you know, approvals and, you know, launch and so on. And rapidly we got them involved into organizing the events. So these were typically, most of them were office people. So, you know, we had people across the country, so that was extremely useful. They became our best friends. And so they had a role to play. They were the ambassadors within their regions, within the business centers. And so because they had a role, they were very excited. They were getting premium information or information in advance, and that's how we leveraged them. Well, thank you very much.
So I think that you've kind of undersold what you've achieved by calling it a rebrand. It seems to me what you've actually done is initiate and drive cultural change throughout your organization. Would you agree?
Well, thank you for that. I think that you read between the lines. I think that a cultural transformation or cultural change is frightening to most people. So I think that the rebranding exercise that we undertook was a way for us to bring people to understand what we wanted to stand for in the marketplace, the different types of behaviors we wanted to change, how we want them to act differently, take bolder stance, be out there. And so that we knew would drive a cultural shift. And we are in the midst of observing that is happening.
Okay. I understand some of your colleagues were in Kelowna last week picking up a Silver Leaf Award. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, actually, last May, we were in Kelowna. We submitted for the internal launch campaign because for such a big project like a rebranding, for it to be successful, you need to have a strong internal component. And so we submitted that, and we were extremely happy to have won for that program.
And do you think that the award win helped validate the initiative amongst some of the skeptics within your organization?
Certainly. There's a huge sense of pride. We had a robust, very fleshed out plan. We made sure that employees were part of it. We had change agents, we had brand champions, and this all contributed to making it happen. So it was not the thing of communicators only. It was the thing of everybody who contributed. So when we received that award, it was a big kudos to all who contributed to this initiative.
Okay, and are you an IABC member?
Yes, I am. Actually, BDC is. We've been extremely involved the last few years and will continue to do so.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
So there you have it. What an excellent presentation that Annie gave. I heard people on the night say that it was one of the best presentations they've ever seen. She gave us a complete view into the overhaul of her brand. She showed how they established the right communications mix to successfully deliver their brand promise. She demonstrated how using a brand, a rebranding exercise can really drive change throughout an organization. So thank you once again, Annie, for coming to Ottawa from your home base in Montreal to deliver this excellent presentation. I want to also thank Abby Radowski, our producer, and Thornley Follis Communications, our sponsor. I'm Sherry Lynn Starkey, and this is The Voice.